This is Trent Parker. I am interviewing my mother. This is May 20th, 2019, and I'm recording in Sarver. First question, Mom. Tell me about your childhood.
My childhood. I started living down near the old stadium on North Side. I would have play dates with my cousin because there weren't many houses around, so it was my mother, myself, my grandmother and my grandfather. And my cousins and I would skate on the sidewalk with our iron roller skates. So they were metal roller skates. There were no stoppers. It was just metal. Some of my cousins had the metal roller skates that just strapped over your shoes, but I was lucky enough to have the full shoe metal skate. So they were just a little bit jealous. We would spend our time playing hopscotch. I had a swing set that everybody would swing on, and we'd play hide and seek.
So you were outside a lot?
A lot. And I always had a dog. So when I was young, really young, like I'd say 4 or 5, I had a Lassie dog, if you know what that looks like. I don't know the true name, a collie. So I had a collie, and his name was Smokey, and he was my first dog. Years ago, there was Coke trucks that would drive around, and you would return your Coke only came in glass, so you could return your glass Coca-Cola bottles for 5 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Coke was dropped off, the return bottles were picked up. Well, one of the best times was it's pretty much down by the river where we lived. The Coke truck drove by, and he stopped, and he gave me a brand new, like a new Coke. And I thought that was the best. I can't believe it. I went home, and I told my grandmother, and I got yelled at because of stranger danger. So that was my younger days.
Who did you look up to when you were a child?
Spent a lot of time with my grandmother. My mom was always really hardworking, and I'm sure I'll talk about her later. But as far as a young child, my grandmother did it all. She did the laundry. She made the dinner. She kept the family together. She had us go to church. She was just the sounding board. She was the realist.
Did you like school when you were a kid, or were you like one of the people that were always rather be outside?
I liked school. My mom had to push me a lot. I would rather put things off and procrastinate, but then she would always make sure that I sat down and did that, so that rubbed off a lot on me as far as the way that I interact with you boys. As you can tell, I always push you to do what you need to do, and it's a good motto to live by. When you get in something to do, do it right away and address it.
Tell me about your parents.
Mom and Dad were great. My mom, for a long time, was a single mom. She worked hard. She worked at a place called Graphics Plus, which put together the school binders, the three-ringed school tension binders that you would buy. There used to be a building downtown, and she pretty much ran the whole floor. So the one time she took me to work, and this was before take your kid to work day, this was before everything, and what they did is there's this big machine that cut paper, and all that came down was this extremely sharp, sharp razor. But imagine this razor is 10 foot long, okay? So she asked us, she said, I have to do something. She told this guy, you know, let her stand by you. So there was two buttons, a red button and a green button. And this guy leaned in and he said, I'm going to fix this paper. He said, but please don't push that button because it'll make the arm come down. I think I was maybe 8 or maybe 9. He let a 9-year-old please don't push this button so my arm doesn't get cut off. But anyway, it was a really great, interesting place to work. However, let me tell you the story about when she quit. She went into work, and there was a song, and I don't know if any of you or your friends will know this, it won't, but it's called Take This Job and Shove It. I ain't working here no more. Okay, so this is just the way my mom's sass kind of went. And she got it on the radio, and she put it over the loudspeaker, and she played it, and she took her box, and she walked out. And that's why I look up to my mom. And my dad is just wonderful. He was always the sweet, you know, as my mom being a single mom, my mom, of course, you know, that tells you that my mom remarried, and my dad adopted me, and that was one of the best days of my life. It was December 29th, and it was the best question that anybody could ask me, do you want this man to adopt you? And I said yes. And he gave nothing but love, and I miss him every day, both of them.
Me too.
Yeah, but they're watching over us.
Yeah.
And they're proud of us, so.
If you could go back and relive your teens, what would you do differently?
This isn't realistic, but you're asking me with an older head on my shoulder, right?
Mm.
Okay. So, you know that this wouldn't have really happened, but I would have probably listened to the suggestions that my mom gave me, my parents gave me more. I would, I guess, take heed more, like, you know, say, oh, yeah, that makes sense, instead of saying, I know better. You know, I'm going to do whatever. That's something that I would probably do. Not that I made mistakes from that, but truly making mistakes is what makes you who you are. You just learn from them. So, yeah.
I know when you were a teenager, you always talked about how you and Aunt Shel, since there was that big age gap,
mm-hmm.
What was it like to have a sister so much younger than you? Not good?
Oh, let me make a sound. Okay, so, I mean, I love her, and I wanted her. Like, you know, we're 10 years apart, so every year they'd say, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, oh, I want a brother or a sister. I want a sibling. And then the one Christmas, it came true. Like, I truly got her as a Christmas present, and I did. I cried. I was so excited. But by the time I was 16, she was 6. Okay? So all these fun things that you do, and you go bowling, or you go miniature golfing, or you go to a movie, you go.
Yeah.
By yourself. Right?
Yeah.
I went with my sister to the point of, I went to see a movie, Dirty Dancing, when it came out, you know, the movie Dirty Dancing. Well, she screamed and she cried, and I said, I'm going without you. And I was halfway there, and my mom called me and made me turn around and come back because she was crying. That was my life. But see, now it's different because we're older and the age difference isn't as much. But it was interesting when I was younger. I guess maybe that was my mom's way of keeping me on the straight and narrow, maybe. I don't know. But it was a chore. But I loved her anyway. Make sure that's noted.
What jobs did you have as a teenager?
My first job was working at Pat's, your grandfather's pharmacy. He owned a pharmacy on Federal Street. And probably by the time I was 8 years old, until I kicked and screamed and wanted a quote-unquote real job, I would clean off shelves and stock shelves and work the cash register sometimes and just do those type of things to help them out. It was kind of the family business. It was my mom that was there, my aunt was there, my cousins were there, my dad, you know, they were all there. So that was the first job. Second job was Wendy's on the High River Boulevard. Third job was, it was called Koenig Sporting Goods. It was in Ross Park Mall, and we thought we were the cat's meow, and after the store would close, we would get on rollerblades and skate through Ross Park Mall. It was awesome. Then, that was about it, because then that led into college, and then I would do summers only at Pabst Store.
You have any funny stories from Pabst Store?
Scary stories. Not really scary. we were in an interesting area. So again, it was on the north side, it was in the city, and there would be people who would have their challenges, and truly it's a heartfelt concern. However, when you're young, you don't really notice it. So the gentleman came in and he said, "I want to buy some NyQuil." And I said, "Sure." You know, I thought he was sick. You know, you're sick, you need NyQuil. And my dad comes down. Now, everybody else may not know, but my dad was pretty big, muscular, heavyset dude. He comes down and he said, "You need to get out of here." The man was trying to buy it because they cut him off from drinking in a bar that was down the corner, and he wanted to buy it for the alcohol. So, I was just like, oh. Or the one lady came in, and she was like, "Oh, look at my little daughter." And I'm talking to her daughter, and she's stealing hair products. And again, my dad comes down. He's like, "Stacy, open up your eyes." But again, I'm young. You know, I'm learning. These mistakes you need to learn. So, yeah, those were some funny but learning moments.
What was your first car, and how did it feel when you had your first car?
It was amazing. It was a 1976 Chevy Nova. It wasn't truly mine. It was my mom's. It was blue. It was the only car that my mom bought that was ever new. It was truly hers. It had Lavore like seats, like soft, like fuzzy, like not hairy fuzzy, but just like.
Like the cover seats that people put on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the first week that she got it, it had a thump in it, and we took it back and got it fixed. But since then, we called it Thumper. So by the time I learned to drive on it, it had a one-way sign welded underneath the driver's seat because the whole floor had rusted out. I mean, this is years ago, okay?
Mm.
But it was the best. It was a four-door. It didn't matter. I thought it was the coolest car. It had those little circular headlights. I'm like, "Oh, look at me." And I learned to drive in Riverview Park in the north side. It was the best.
Comparing your teenage years to teenagers now, what are, like, the differences that you can see?
You know what I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. It is the electronics. I mean, in my old neighborhood, we were out playing release, hanging out on the corner. And when it snowed, every single time it snowed. We were outside.
Well, you got more days off than
No, 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 no. You guys had a lot of days off. We would play hopscotch. We'd ride our bikes everywhere. We would sit. We knew we'd had to come in when the streetlights came on. But then we were always at someone's porch, and it was usually mine. We would hula hoop. There were skateboards. We would go skating. My parents would drive two separate cars, one station wagon and then the Nova. So it was the Woody Termite, because we had a station wagon that had wood along the side of it. So we drove the Woody Termite with a group of kids in it. My mom drove kids. That's how many kids were in our neighborhood. And we drove to Neville Island Roller Dome Wednesdays and Saturdays. And that was the first thing I ever saved money up to purchase. I don't know, I'm just adding something in here. But I saved for weeks to buy a pair of Pacer roller skates. They're the best things. I still have them downstairs. You want to take them tomorrow for show and tell, you can.
I know you, how you grew up in the city. Can you explain a little bit more in depth about that?
My younger years, I went to a Catholic school. But my mom was the only one who drove in the family. So the challenge was, how do we get this young girl there to there to school. Some days my mom could drive me, but other days my grandmother had to walk me probably almost a mile. So when it was cold, there used to be a mall called Allegheny Center Mall. It's down there on the north side. I think it's office buildings now. But to keep warm, we would walk through the mall and then to St. Peter's is where I went. And then I went to Manchester. Then I went to Greenway Middle School. I ran from the exit door down to my buses. I did not like that. And then I went to Oliver for my freshman sophomore year. And I walked to school. That's how close we lived to Oliver High School. And that was okay because I had good friends. I mean, as long as you have good friends, you're okay. And then we moved because Michelle was 10 years younger, and we moved in the North Hills School District, and I transferred then, and I did my junior, senior year at North Hills. I made a lot of good friends at North Hills. I joined the band and did flag line. Woohoo! And I still have all those, I have a lot of those friends today. So, but the city was interesting. Took buses, you know. When was the last, when did you ever take a bus? Oh, when we were on vacation. I mean, it's just different. We just live differently, you know.
What is the happiest moments in your life?
When I had you guys. Is that too mushy?
I mean, kind of.
But it's true. You boys make my heart full. I mean, you make my life complete. And I'm blessed to have you, so that's the truth.
Is there any kind of stories from, like, all three of us growing up, like a camp or anything like that, that you remember?
Can I share one about you, just you?
The gum and the
desk. The gum?
No.
Oh, he's so cute. He's about 3 years old, and it was Alec's birthday, so Alec was what?
Five.
He was five. He opened up his presents, and he got a pack of Bazooka gum, and Alec said, oh, Trent likes gum, he can have this Azooka. And that's what Alec called it. He called it Azooka, and Trent goes, oh, gum. And you can hear it because I'm videoing, you know, but this is just it's such a clear memory. You can hear him running down the, you know, you can hear him running down the hallway, you know, and then he hurry up, runs back, and he's holding the gum, and he holds it into the camera, and he goes, I'm going to put my gum in my desk. And he goes running back. But a lot of those memories are just truly of just me being with you guys, teaching you how to ride your bikes, out in the backyard, just doing nothing, chalking, watching you guys love on each other. I mean, you know, you guys hugged each other, you know, when you were younger. You really did.
Don't do it now.
So it was, I know, but it was, it's just, I cherish having the ability to have been there, you know, while you guys were little, and I love your relationships now. I sit and I listen to you guys talk just about nothing, and it's mainly family. I enjoy it.
I know some scary things happened in your life when you were younger. What are some of the scariest times in your life?
I'll share the one. I'd never, when I was 17 years old, family never had the money, you know, to go to Disney or anything. But when I was 17, one of my girlfriend's family was going, and he was a police officer, and that was the only reason that I was allowed to go, is because her father was a police officer, so he would keep me safe. And when we were down there, we had to drive two separate cars, and long story short, I was to give him money for the hotel room. He paid for the hotel room, and then as an agreement between my parents, I was to give him money. Well, at nighttime, he said, you know, can I have that money? Well, years ago, there was cigarette ashtrays that actually pulled out. So that was the secret, quote-unquote, secret compartment of where my mom take the money.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, it's really late. I said, can I give it to you tomorrow morning? He said, I'd really like to wrap it up tonight. So we had just gotten back from Disney. It was only 11 p.m. I mean, not only, but it was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down there, and when I opened the car door, I was held up by gunpoint. So that was really scary. So, you know, there was a gun in the back of the head, and then they told me, well, we're going to go over here. And I said, no, we're not going to go over there. And so the people, the two guys, then took us. It was me and another girl. And we went back up to the room. And when we opened up the room, they took everything from the room. And it was just a scary situation. If you could envision, like, a scary scene from a movie, that's kind of what it was like. And, I mean, I didn't get hurt. They didn't touch me. You know, they didn't do anything to me. But they did put the gun at the back of my head, and it was a scary experience, so I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Tell me one of the most important people in your life when you were growing up.
My mom. She truly is, for my wedding, I played Wind Beneath My Wings for her, because she truly is that person who will do anything for you and stay out of the light, and she will let you shine. And I have the video of when, and I know that you've never met her, but I have the video of when we told, when Dad and I told her we were pregnant with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about you so much before she passed away. And we talked about her so much before you passed away, but she is always one to jump in there. I mean, I really look up to her, and I hope that I'm half the mom that she was to me. I mean, she was amazing. I miss her. I miss her a lot. But, yep, that's the person.
What are some lessons that you learned through life?
What was the question? I'm sorry.
What are some lessons that you learned through life?
That I learned through life?
Mm-hmm.
I learned that you should always be honest, because it always comes back to bite you in the butt. And I learned that having humility, you know, and to be humble is better than being boastful and showing off. Because being boastful only makes everybody else around you feel bad, which makes me, you know, for example, and I don't want to go on a tangent, but Facebook, you're seeing everybody's best day or best part of their life. You know what I mean? You're not seeing their challenges. So, you know, I think that, you know, what I mainly learned is that if you have your set of ideals and you have your character set and you can stay strong to that character, people are going to respect you for that. See me?
Mm-hmm. You told me when I was younger that whenever you didn't have Aunt Shel, the one person that you hung out with the most was Aunt Crystal. Mm-hmm. Is there any stories of, like, you two growing up together?
Absolutely. For years, our family had, and still does have, but it's just in a different location, the camp. And we called it the Rainbow Camp, because at first it was brown, and then the one day they decided to just paint it whatever color paint was on sale. And so there were memories of bonfires and mud fights and volleyball games. We'd play in the creek for hours. We would be in the water, and there'd be like these little water bugs. And we, for hours, we'd say, "There's one by you," and we'd just go into the water and splash. And then she'd come up from the water. She'd go, "There's one by you," and we'd just splash. We rode mini bikes, and we would ride mini bikes and just go up on a coal mine that was there. We'd make little like there was a playhouse in the back. And we would have our little clubhouse. I mean, it was fun. And Crystal and I are still close. Crystal and I are sisters, too.
You were talking about how you and your cousins were close, but you told me when I was younger you would always have my cousins over the house. Is there anything that you would want to say about that?
Absolutely. I always did, didn't I?
Yeah.
It's important to me for family to be around, and it's important to keep that connection, because for my generation, it's now my responsibility to keep it, not my responsibility, but I think it should be everyone's to keep it together, you know, the family together, which is why when you guys were growing up, the sleepovers were always at our house, and yeah, that's not a problem, you know, if someone wants to go do something, I'm willing, because those moments are never going to come back. And I liked hanging out. I liked doing do you remember the arts and crafts? I mean, you're older now, and it's silly now, but it was cool then. Yeah. Cool, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talked about Gooby and how, like, I never really met her.
Yeah.
Is there anything, like, that you'd like to say? Is that, like, Brian or Alec, if I sent this to him, they can hear it?
Brandon remembers most. She sat for hours and played cards with him. in Play-Doh. I can say that she would have Aunt Char, or not Aunt Char, well, Aunt Char too, Aunt Char and Aunt Glow, she would have them come over even at her sickest, you know, with her cancer, and help and watch him so that Dad and I could go out and have a date night. I mean, she's very self-sacrificing, and she loved beyond belief. I mean, there were, I don't want to make you sad, and I really don't want to cry on video, but she really tried to hold on.
Right.
For when you were born, and she was just too sick, and we had a lot of good cries, like good conversations, which is why you were blessed, and it's not there now, but when you were born, you had a heart right on your forehead, and that's Goopy's kiss, and I promise you that's what it is. She's strong like that.
Do you have any future advice for me or my brothers?
Well, the future advice, if I wasn't here tomorrow, I would say to be true to yourself and always love the very best way that you can. And that means honest and need to be open and listen and have. Guys are allowed to have kind feelings too. And when my advice to be for your children is to be there for everything and use the example that I gave you as far as always being present, because that's what people remember when you're there. You just need to truly be there, even if you embarrass your child, because having a goofy mom builds character.
Another question I have is, would you suggest traveling outside of the United States in like the economy that's in right now?
No. I wouldn't. There's a lot of things going on. I'd be careful with, you know, but you can't live your life in a bubble. Life is about risk. So, you know, you've got to make your own educated decisions. And make sure that you research, you know, where you're going. But I don't think that you should, limit your life. There's always something that's scary out there, but you just have to make decisions the best way that you can. I mean, you can't stay locked up in your home and not travel. Because what I've told Brandon, I've told you, and I've told Alec, go see the world. This is your chance. Take your opportunities.
Talking about travel, how far have you traveled in your lifetime?
And this is why I want you to travel. On our honeymoon, we went to Cancun, Cozumel, and Key West. I've been to Ohio, Canada, and most recently I've been to Marsh Harbor, Bahamas for work. I mean, I would love to see the Grand Canyon. I would love to go to Australia. You know, these are goals that I'm setting for myself at this age. But I think that if you want something and you can do it, you can't take your money with you. So go do it, you know. And I want you to find a job that lets you do that. So, yeah, I haven't traveled far. I would like to see different states. I've been to California. I take that back. I've been to California. I've been to Las Vegas. I went on black number 8 in roulette. A lot of money. But I've only been there once. But I won multiple times. You know how I did that? I sat on it on the plane next to this older gentleman, and he was dressed to the T. And I had a T-shirt on that said Las Vegas or bust. And I was with my college friend. And I was with Gooby and Michelle, Aunt Shell. We were going to see our cousins. Long story short, had this nice conversation with this gentleman, and he said, "You want to play black number 8 on roulette?" That's exactly how we spoke. And I said, okay. So when we drove into Las Vegas, we stopped at this little place outside of Las Vegas. We all played it. We all won $350. Then we went into the city of Las Vegas, and we played it. I won over $1,000 on that number. But I don't think that would happen all the time. But there, that's my little traveling story.
Dad told me some funny stories from your honeymoon, how he went off the reservation. What was that like from your point of view?
Hot! Okay? It was hot, and it was just hot and scary. So we get in this cab, and we're like, we'd like to go to a flea market. And, you know, we're on the boat, and the gentleman says, oh, yeah, ask to go to a flea market. So we ask to go to a flea market. We get in this cab. We don't have any small bills. We don't have any currency. Okay? So he drops us off. We're in the middle of a farmer's market. Okay? Which means livestock. We had to walk 3 miles in 105 degrees. That's a long... So these buses are coming by. We can't get on the buses because we don't have any money. We don't have any small currency. So we finally get back, and Dad's like, oh, I can finally have a drink. And I'm like, oh, can I have a bottle of water? They didn't have any water. It was awful. It was awful.
What were the people like while they were down there? Scary?
No, because it was more of a...
Reservation?
Yeah, like a tourist, not a reservation, but...
closer to
it was a touristy thing. Like, you don't want to go out off of where you were, but still you'd have young children coming up and trying to sell you boxes, probably 6 inches by 6 inches of gum, and it was called Chiclets instead of Chiclets. Do you remember Chiclet gum? No, you don't, but we were older, we did. And the little boys would come up and say, Chiclet, Chiclet, and he said, for my mom. And then the mom's over there with no legs or something. It was just sad. It was so sad. And we're like, all right, we'll buy some gum, you know? Take it on the trench, you can put it in back.
Got jokes. That's all I got for you, Mom. Thank you for sitting here and talking with me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Long enough? 32 or 5.
Are you sure?
Yeah, some kid had 28 and she let him go.